and welcome back to another episode of Beyond the To-Do List. I am your host, Eric Fisher. This is the show where we talk to the people behind the productivity. And this week, my guest is me. Actually, my guest is Andrew Mason, host of the Pro Guide podcast, as well as the GTD podcast. It is my thrill to have him come on and actually turn the tables on me for the first time ever on this show and ask me a bunch of questions. So he tries to stump me. He asks me a bunch of questions about my productivity style now and some of the background behind this show, to be honest. Some of the stuff that, honestly, I've never shared before in terms of how this show came about, my productivity journey up till the point of starting the show, how my productivity journey has progressed as the show has evolved, where I'm at right now, and honestly, some of the deeper probing questions that I've ever answered on anybody else's show, but they're right here on this one. I think you're really going to enjoy it. And in fact, what would be awesome is at the end, we get to a point where I think there's still more questions to be asked. And so what I want to do is open up for you, the listener, the opportunity to ask questions as well in the comments section of this episode. Feel free to go to beyondthetodolist.com/121. That's beyondthetodolist.com/121. You'll find the show notes for this episode and you'll find the comments section. And I am going to camp out there. I will answer any question you have. Feel free to ask it. I've got notifications turned on and ready to go. Before we get into that conversation, I want to say thank you to Nosby, the sponsor of this episode. Thank you to Nosby for supporting Beyond the To-Do List. Nosby is a tool that allows more than 300,000 busy people and teams from all over the world get their tasks and projects done. It is cross-platform. That means it is desktop. It is mobile. It is tablet. It is Mac, Windows, Linux even, Android, iOS, iPhone, iPad, etc., even Apple Watch. Stay tuned for an upcoming episode of this podcast with the founder of Nosby, Michael Slawinski. Really looking forward to sharing that with you. Right now, Nosby is offering 10% off of a Nosby Pro account. To get advantage of that and a 30-day free trial, go over to nosby.com/todo. That's nosbe.com/todo. nosby.com/todo. That's where you can set up a 30-day free Nosby Pro trial. And when you upgrade, use that code todo to save 10% extra off your purchase.
Well, welcome again to another episode of Beyond the To-Do List. As you can hear, I am not Eric Fisher. The voice you're hearing is Andrew Mason, and it's my honor to be Eric's guest, but guest interviewer. And what we're looking to do is flip the tables on Eric and have him be in the interviewee chair for a little while. So, Eric, have you ever done anything like this before?
I've been on a lot of other podcasts, but never been a guest on my own show.
Well, hey, I'm honored to be able to do that. I've actually had you on the Pro Guide a year or two ago. And just a little bit about me. My name is Andrew J. Mason. I host two podcasts. One's the Pro Guide, which is just where I learn from leaders. And also Getting Things Done for the David Allen Company, and just where we get to learn about the GTD system and different people getting to do that. But I'm really, really interested, Eric, in talking a little bit about your personal systems, your processes, and maybe even a little bit about how Beyond the To-Do List got started. So I think maybe even one of the first questions that people, your audience, would be interested in is learning a little bit about your story. I mean, how does somebody recognize the need for a podcast like Beyond the To-Do List and even get started? Where does the story kind of begin for you?
Yeah, the story for me, there's a couple different kind of tangents or pieces of information that you need to know that combine to make the show, you know, happen and the genesis of it. One was that I was thoroughly interested in productivity for a long time, a lot of that time not even knowing what that word meant or what that was. I just thought, you know, being effective, being efficient, being on top of my game, being, you know, the best at what I'm being tasked to do, let alone not even going into the whole subject of deciding what it is you want to do and being good at those things, or what you're made to do, or your calling, and all that, all the different cool kind of stuff that I've been able to explore with the show. So all that was kind of in flux. And then podcasting came along, and, you know, the story goes that I got up, or so I was sitting doing data entry in June or July, I forget which, I know it's a J month, in the middle of 2005, and iTunes on the Windows machine at work where I'm doing data entry pops up and says, there's an update. And I'm like, you know what? It's time for a break. So I hit yes. I go use the restroom, get some coffee, something, come back, and it's there. And I'm like, ready to sit down, turn my music back on. And I look over and I'm like, what's this thing called podcasts in the sidebar? And so right from the get-go, I click in and look and see, oh, these are radio shows that download so I can play them and pause them. Genius. And right away I knew, oh, I want to do one of these.
I love just the even, you know, it's not even 11 years ago, but just the nostalgia, yeah, I'm feeling about the idea of podcasts. Were there ever times in your early days where you're like, you know, man, I don't know if this is right. You know, you're getting it started. You're getting your first show together. You know, you're kind of coming up with the material and everything. And there's not really a best way or a perfect way to kind of do this. So how do you go about putting yourself out there?
Well, the thing you need to know, and I think most people need to hear, is that Beyond the To-Do List was not my first podcast.
Mm.
It was my first solo podcast, if you can call doing, you know, it's a solo show in except for the fact that I'm talking to other people. So it's still not just me most of the time. It was not my first show, however. For a long time, I listened to a lot of other shows. So I immersed myself in the world of podcasting and listened first, consumed first. Then I moved on to creating, where I did in 2007, from April to December, my friend and I at the same job, we did a comedy show, almost daily comedy show. We'd go to his house. We'd go to his spare bedroom where the mixer and my iPod and then his iPod were kind of synced into the front and back end so we could play sounds in. And we had two mics and we had different snippets of stuff. We'd do movie reviews and music and topical, you know, we were basically trying to be a late night talk show. And it was fun. And we garnered a pretty good following, not huge, but the caveat here, or the best thing that came out of that, was at the end, one, I'd put in a ton of hours podcasting, mm-hmm, that year. And iTunes gave us an award that December for one of the top new comedy podcasts.
Wow.
Yeah. Not a lot of people know that that's something that is in my background. So having done that, we did another season of it about a year later for another year long stint, and then, you know, called it quits. And by that point, I'd been friends with Cliff Ravenscraft for a few years and called him up and had said, hey, do you want to do a show with me? And we, mm-hmm, did something called Social Media Serenity for a year and a half. And it was all about, you know, what what you need to know about how to use social media without going crazy. Mm-hmm. And so then January 2012, Cliff decides that he's going to scale back and stop doing as many shows on his Generally Speaking network. And as soon as he said that, I said, genius. And I started doing, you know, social media segments on his podcast, Answer Man Show, at the time. But I knew instantly I needed to, and this was the year of this show coming out. It was August 2012, and this was January 2012 that he said this. So 8 months later, the show was launched.
That is incredible. Actually, I look at the, you know, just what you were saying with the comedy podcast. Two questions come up just to backpedal just a little bit. First of all, what is your reaction when you see that you get an award from, you know, iTunes, Apple? And it's not necessarily anything you're going for. You know, who even knew that they even had awards? What's your first reaction when you see that?
We had no idea it was happening. Suddenly, we're both in there looking around in iTunes like we, you know, at the time were very prone to do, because we wanted to see how we ranked and all that kind of stuff. And this was back when the podcasting herd was a lot thinner. So it was completely rewarding. I mean, we already were getting voice feedback from a lot of listeners saying they love the show, and, you know, we'd play clips of them in the show and doing different things. I mean, it was a very interactive podcast, like a lot of them used to be back then and aren't so much anymore. But yeah, it was very rewarding. It was very affirming. And then we did it for about another month later after that award and then stopped for a year.
Well, a second question too. I'm thinking, is this content still available somewhere online?
Those that know how to find it could find it. That is all I will say about that.
Okay, however, good to know. I do
have an idea of maybe pulling out a piece or two here and there and putting it up on SoundCloud for people to sample. So,
bringing it back up to speed where you were talking about 2012, this show, has its origins. And, I'm thinking 2012 to 2016, that's actually really good longevity in terms of podcasting. I mean, that's 4 years you're going on now. And I love hearing maybe some stories of obstacles you've encountered along the ways, or what even people would consider failures or challenges. Is there anything that while you're in the process of creating this show, thinking, I don't know if I'm going to stick around with this show for very long or not, or you know, were there any obstacles that you really had to overcome along the way?
I'll say this, and if you're a long-term listener of this show, you probably are aware of this. The biggest obstacle for this show, even being on, 121 episodes now, if you think about it, 3 years, 52 weeks a year, we should be higher towards the 200 mark right now than we are. Mm-hmm. So consistency is the issue. And in more specifically talking, consistency or systematizing
people from all different kind of walks of productivity and their intersection with productivity. Are there any favorite guests that kind of stick out to you? And if so, are there any most kind of valuable pieces of advice that you've received so far on this show? Stuff that's, you've listened to it and you've taken it to heart, and it's not just, that surface level, okay, that sounds like a good one-liner, but something that, man, that's actually really changing the way that that I'm going about my day-to-day life.
Yeah, one of the things that really stuck with me, and there's a number of them. I mean, you can't have 100 and whatever episodes without having takeaways. But some of the biggest ones, one of the biggest ones, honestly, was Michael Hyatt. We were talking about looking where you're going to instead of looking back and trying to avoid where you've been or where others have been. We were both specifically talking about the fact that, we had issues in our past with our fathers. And by looking back and saying, I don't want to be like that, mm-hmm. we were self-sabotaging. And in the metaphor, I think that he gave was something along the lines of race car driving, and where you have to, when you're going around a curve, look to where you're going to go instead of straight ahead. Because if you look straight ahead, you turn right into the wall. And so it was always about looking forward to where you're wanting to be. And, and there is something to be said for being in the here and now, but ultimately it's the not looking back. That really, in other words, changing your mindset. This is one of the other things that I've learned recently, even just from listening to my friend Cliff Ravenscraft in some of his recent episodes, but as well as his recent appearance on the show. He's done a year where he's worked out 6 days a week every week.
Man.
And he's lost, I don't know. I mean, he's under 200 right now. He was started at 268.
Wow.
And it's not just, he's actually lost more quote unquote weight than that, but he's built muscle as well. So, I keep saying I'm going to pull a Cliff Ravenscraft sometime and start doing that. And in fact, that's actually one of the things that I've started. And that's the thing that I think I'm looking at the most right now currently has just been mindset. And so combining maybe some of what Cliff has said and some of what Michael has said in terms of looking forward and just changing the way that I feel about myself or more importantly, think about myself and mm-hmm. where I am. One of the key things that Cliff has kept saying is that, this is his commitment for the rest of his life. Like, he's not just saying, all right, I'm going to get to this one point and then be done. No, he's like, no, I mean, whatever it is I need to do to work it out to get to the point where this is a consistent habit from this point forward, like, he's doing it. And he proved by having that mindset that he could right away. And then consistently kept doing it.
This is a little bit of a rabbit trail, but what do you think the shift is that happens for people where it's not just something they're trying, not something that they're practicing for a little while, but then it just kind of makes that shift over into a point of identity for them? You can see that this is, from how you describe it, this is how Cliff feels about himself now. This is who he is now.
Yeah.
There's a point where you're so invested that you actually have something to lose if you stop with this new habit. What do you think that is?
I think it's different for everybody. I think for Cliff specifically, and I've been trying to pinpoint that actually, when it comes to he had done, you know, he'd had a couple other stints where, all right, I'm back at it. You know, you mm-hmm. hear, you especially at this time of year. I mean, we're recording this in January and releasing it in January, and it's, you know, just about the point where the New Year's resolutions either have fizzled or are starting to.
It's make or break right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, and you hear a lot about that, where it's like, okay, I know where I want to be. I know what I want to be and who I want to be and how and all that resolution stuff. But when it comes down to it, it's more about how are you going to maintain or just completely shift and be off the old rails and onto the new set that just keeps going forever and ever, mm-hmm. you know? And I think part of it is for Cliff was he wasn't just changing stuff for the here and now. Like he envisioned, like a lot of people say, you know, work with the end in mind. Well, he is. Like he's looking forward to being at his healthiest possible the entire rest of his life till he's dead, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That right there is a huge difference when it comes to health. I mean, not to keep going on health for forever in this conversation.
Well, no, not to beat the dead horse, but you're saying with Michael Hyatt, yeah. I mean, just the idea of having that vision so clear where you're headed. You know, I think maybe it starts with wanting to avoid the wall and spin out and crash, but I think the end game is seeing where you're driving to and being so jazzed and excited about it that it kind of pulls you forward.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that I know for a fact, actually, that was part of what got Cliff going right away was the fact that he was doing the selfie of the day and posting it and getting the adoration of, you know, and the kudos from the fans and the community that he has built up around him over time. And that kept him going in the beginning when it was a struggle, even though he was still super excited. But as he used that momentum to move forward, he moved forward into the point where it was a habit and then an addiction.
I love it. I actually would love to kind of shift gears a little bit and talk. And you know, that's kind of a great segue to talk about your personal system. I mean, the show is called Beyond the To-Do List. I mean, we're talking about people's habits. And Eric, if you're anything like me, I know that I'm a lifelong learner. I love hearing the new ideas and processes that people have all the time. Do you mind telling your audience a little bit about your personal to-do list? Is it something that is a system that's set in stone? Is it a system that's constantly changing over time? Give us a snapshot of what that looks like for you.
Well, like you, I'm one of those people who tries all the different tips and tricks and tools mm-hmm. and tries to, you know, hunker down into something new and see if it'll work better than the other one just because new and shiny is fun. And that's not always a great thing. I try to stick with, you know, I try to tell people, look, pick one and stick with it. Don't worry about the tool. Unless you have no tool, then pick one, for example, maybe my sponsor, and stick with that and run with it, you know?
Yeah.
And so my system I have used, and there, I mean, I have used OmniFocus. I have used Nosby. I have used Todoist. I have used, let's see, there's another one, Things. Mm-hmm. And those are all, and again, those are all task management systems personally, and some of them can be used collaboratively. Trello is another one. Actually, Trello is probably the one I've used most consistently. And the thing is about that is because that's what, for my position at Social Media Examiner as mm-hmm. social media manager, I'm most tied into because everybody else is using it, you know, by mandate. So that's cool. But yeah, as far as my task list, as far as what I'm looking at for today to do, one, it's a calendar. I know because time. You know, because a set, there is no other day but this day that these things are set on appointment wise. You know what I mean? Like time is a landing place for, you know, we're both going to meet at this place at this time. Sometimes the place is online, mm-hmm. but that's not changing. I mean, those things can change. You can reschedule meetings. But
it's
but
so funny. I see the faces of our audience in my head right now, and I see this combination of like incredulousness, like "Are you serious?" but also like "That's brilliant," you know.
Well, I mean, that's the thing is like I plan my weeks based on what is already on the calendar by who I've allowed to have access to it, as well as what I've put there. And then that translates into day to day. Now, that's not to say I don't have a master list of the tasks that need to be done. I do have that. I have those in, you know, those systems, one for home life, one for work life. And then I translate those. I pull those out and I do this. I either do it if I'm really good and I'm ahead, I'm doing it the day before, and I'm writing out, literally handwriting out, pen and mini legal pad. I am writing out my day in order of where the, you know, the dedicated milestones are, like that important meeting, this point in time where I'm going to go work out, this point in time where I know that's the only time I'm going to get lunch. If I miss it, I don't get it. That kind of thing. Like, I map that out. And
well, just to make sure, you said pen and paper, not Apple pen, like an actual pen with actual paper.
Pen. No, I don't have the Apple pen, as much of a Mac guy as I mostly am, as I actually I fully am. There's nothing I have that's computer wise that's not a Mac. But I do it that way because I like the tangibility of it. I like to be able to cross it off and say, I know right where I am. I like reviewing it repeatedly, in the sense that repeatedly, not in the sense of over and over and over again, but in the sense of I have checked to make sure I know what my schedule is for the day, as well as comparing that to what my task list is, and then I combine it together into a paper list.
Okay, well, you kind of alluded to this a little bit about, you know, the perfect day. You know, on a perfect day, you'll get the next day kind of laid out in advance. Walk us through, if you had a work day happening and it's going to be end up being, you know, you were productive that day. You know, it was a perfect work day for you. What does that look like for you?
Well, I mean, a perfect work day is, you know, anything that I said I was going to do, I did. And so that may mean saying I'm going to do less and being then available again for things if they come up. But it's going to be, I mean, in the most, you know, practical sense, it's going to be me getting up before everybody else in my house. Mm-hmm. However early that is. I mean, I've had recent guests again who've said, you know, 5 a.m. is a miracle time to get up and wake up and be alive. And that's just not, that's falling on deaf ears for a lot of people. But I did get up at 5 a.m. this morning, and I did work for 2.5 hours before my daughter had to get up for school to get ready. Then I took about another hour there to be with the family, you know, help with breakfast, that kind of thing. Then I transitioned back over to getting myself ready and prepping for this and in a meeting I have after it. And then I have a couple of quick tasks I'm going to knock out. I'm going to eat some lunch, another meeting, and then I'm going to go work out because I know that's when it's going to happen today. And then after that, I have one thing I need to knock out for the rest of the afternoon, and I'm going to do that in intervals until it's time for dinner, and then I'm done for the day.
That's awesome. So that's awesome.
As ideal as that may or may not be, that's what I'm doing today.
Yeah. You know, I love just to hit on what you're saying, you know, no matter what time it happens to be, you still end up on a perfect day getting up before the rest of your family. I'm trying to remember who it was. I think it was John Acuff who said something to the effect of, you know, anybody can be selfish at 3 a.m. Mm-hmm. You know, so anybody, you know, if you want that extra little bit of margin in your life, no matter how big of a family you have, no matter, you know, what your life looks like or how crazy it is, you know, there are prime spots, but they might not be the spots that you'd like to take them. And I think that's brilliant.
That, and if I can add on top of that, yeah,
please,
you know, being selfish at 3 a.m. or 5 a.m. or, I mean, he did a 5 a.m. club for a long time, John Acuff did. I do it now not out of, I do it now out of necessity because I'm trying to reshape and reform and change habits and all that. Like, you heard me, like, I didn't say I get up at 5 a.m. and I go work out. Mm-hmm. I know that's not going to work. And the reason is because, one, it's going to take me a lot longer to get warmed up and out the door and to the place and do the thing and then get back. And also, I've learned that sometimes backfires when kids get up at that time that shouldn't be. And my wife's sleep is important to her slash than me by proxy. And so by me being there at the house and having a thing or two that I'm knocking out, that even if they do get up early, I can set them up, you know, sitting there with me and we can, you know, they can hang out with me while I finish something, or being flexible enough to say, oh, the thing I'm working on right now is something that I can fit in later. I guess ultimately what I'm saying is there's a seasonality to it. If you really can't do the 5 a.m. thing, do the 6 a.m. thing, or do the 7 a.m. thing. Do the whatever thing. You know, if it's late at night, then you plan for that too. Again, this is one of those retread issues that we've talked about on the show a number of times, but
yeah,
it's one of those things where if you're looking for extra time, then you need to restructure the way you're using your time right now. Either you decide to get more sleep and get to bed sooner by turning off your phone and your screens and everything, quick side note, I'm really looking forward to the next iOS update now that they're going to have the blue light.
I heard about this. Oh, how crazy.
Yeah. I already have that on my my Mac through this tool called Flux. So when they said that was going to be on the devices, I'm like, oh, that means I'll be able to read on my iPad.
Do you notice an actual difference? I mean, versus, you know, you have this already on your desktop. Do you notice an actual difference as far as the blue light goes?
I think I do. I can... without ratting out my wife, she spends time watching TV in bed at night, looking at the blue screen, and I'm like, dim it. And even then, it's not non-blue light. So anyway, she sometimes has to, it keeps her up. It can keep all of us up. That's the problem.
Yeah.
So. But yeah. Anyway, yeah, that finding that time is important, and you can't make new time, but you can discover new time.
That's right.
If that makes sense.
It does. And, you know, we talked a little bit about, the health, you know, thing. This is a time of year when, people are working on resolutions. Do you have any other kind of routines or checklists? You did mention the seasonality of it all. So I know it's not a permanent thing, but, what are you right now currently trying to habitualize in your life?
Well, for me, I am trying to pull my Cliff Ravenscraft.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, going back to that segment of this conversation, I have been going and I think what I'm doing is I am I'm trying to habitualize enjoying going and working out. And I'll tell you what, yesterday I didn't want to stop. And as I was leaving and coming home, I felt the best that I've felt in a long time driving home. And I just felt like, man, I really wish I could go back and do some more. And I feel really good right now. I'm not like worn out and out of breath and all that. So, that's the thing I'm working on. Like I'm wearing that groove out now before I make a specific commitment to like say, okay, I'm going to do 6 days a week, 30 minutes a day. I'm trying to do every day that I can fit it in. And I'm using my Apple Watch to, tick the goals off. And I'm meeting them most days. I even did that on Instagram. I showed a little, I've been doing it almost a month now, and I've had a lot higher activity rate.
Sheer curiosity. You mentioned you come out of the gym on days like today or yesterday and think, man, you know, I actually feel really, really good. Do you notice any difference in anything that you've done during the actual workout that makes that change for you? You know, what is the difference between a day where you're like, I hate my life and I want to go back to bed and days where you feel really good?
Well, are you specifically asking about the working out aspect, or if working out in the day changes the way I feel about my day?
Specifically, the working out aspect of it. Is there anything that you notice you do differently, or harder, or easier?
I'll say this: my body, my mind is sharper when my body has had activity.
Hmm.
That is what I'm noticing, and so I am finding that I crave now drinking more water, and I crave standing up like I am right now at my desk, and I crave going and, you know, having some physical activity and listening to some music, like on a specific playlist that I've made.
That's huge. Well, as far as your entire workflow goes, what has been the most difficult thing to implement so far? You look back on your successes, you look back on the things that you considered to be wins on your to-do list or wins inside of creating or crafting a process. Is there anything that you look at and, you know, even your calendar, you know, even the software that's out there right now and think, man, if there is just one thing that we could get right here, or if there's one portion of my workflow that if I could just nail that, it would work. I guess I'm basically asking, you know, where's the bottleneck for you, or where has it been for you?
Yeah, the bottlenecks. There's been, you know, bottlenecks. Here's the thing. There's always going to be a new bottleneck that comes along.
True.
Because life doesn't stay static. It's always changing. And I think that's the thing for me. Like when I started the show, I was working at a university and I was fitting in the podcast in the, you know, I was fitting in prep in the early morning. I was taking a lunch hour at different times of the day when mm-hmm. I didn't have other things to do. And I was recording then and putting it out there. And there was a, you know, a seasonality and a consistency to it, especially when I planned, you know, 2, 3, 4 months out. Then things changed and I was working from home, and that was a whole other animal that I'd never, man, I tell you what, remote working threw me for a loop in a bad way. And, you know, I had to catch up. I had to play catch up with relearning a lot of different things when it came to time of the day, workspace, my own energy. There's a number of things. Staying focused and, you know, not being on the internet, you know, even though working on the internet, I mean, talk about working on the internet before when there's people around to quote unquote distract you. Then when it's just you and your mind and you have this guilt of, I should be doing something right now, and I am, but then I went off into something else that's also work, but not as immediate or important as what I need to be doing right now. Like, it's all self-management. And again, self-management was the whole reason I started the show. I was just so interested. I started it because I wanted to, one, talk to some awesome people that I was hoping to get to talk to, and I have. And I wanted to get out of them how they got to do, how they decided to, and how they got to the place where they would do this awesome work. And in other words, it came down to, how do they self-manage? And so anyway, that threw me for a loop. And, you know, over the course of the past 3.5 years, going on 4 years now with this show, yeah, I'm the productivity expert who has times been a complete hypocrite when it comes to productivity. And I'll be upfront with that because, and I'll say that with complete honesty and transparency because, one, it's true. And two, that's an inevitability for anybody who's good at productivity or good at self-management. Things change, the sea shifts, and then you get your bearings again. And I think the thing that probably the biggest lesson I can share is don't wait to get your bearings again. Hmm. Like, when things are unsettled, there's a reason, and it's good to take a minute, and even in, not in a hyper paranoid way, but in just a, okay, where am I at? What's important? What is the expectation of that I've given myself or that someone else has on me right now? Am I in check with all of that? You know, and that's why I kind of started to operate by the calendar and the list of tasks, and copy it down into, okay, here's my map for today.
Yeah. I mean, it's the recalibration, the refocusing, yeah. And the sooner you get back on track, sooner you keep going.
Mm-hmm. And you said the word right there, recalibration. I think just daily recalibration, weekly recalibration, and then even monthly, but I even have been starting to operate in just the, okay, from here through to, you know, I mean, it's January through the end of April is kind of where my mindset is right now. Mm. And then if there's a hopper for future in the week, or sorry, in the year, it's, you know, May through to about end of August or mid-August. And then it's from, you know, it's those not quarters, trimesters. I guess that's the right word.
I'd say trimesters. Yeah.
So that's my scope as far as how far out I'm looking. And, you know, that's not to say I'm not like, now next year, but I, you know, right now I'm recalibrating all that.
Yeah. So the whole idea of a 5-year plan, 10-year plan, you're basically saying, you know, not screw that, but basically, you know, I want to work with most of my focus on the next couple of weeks coming up.
Yeah. And as my now pertains to my future, those 5, 10 year, whatever plans, mm-hmm. again, what I'm doing is like, look, in the future, I want to be, and you know, I'm bringing it back to health again real quick. In the future, yeah, I want to be the most healthy possible person I can at that point. So what does that mean for me right now? Well, it just means, look, where that groove of habitual activity now. It means getting up early and going to bed at the right time. It means turning things off at a certain point and focusing on people versus things. That kind of stuff. That's where I'm at, is like, I'm just, and all of this is, again, I'm currently in a new stage of recalibrating.
I love it. Two last, I think, quick questions about wins. One kind of on a micro level, one kind of on a macro level. What for you is an ultimate win for an episode of the show? Like, so you're recording, you're in an interview. I mean, we're having this conversation right now. Is there a moment, you know, when you're talking with a guest and you just know that you've hit that mark? I mean, the content's golden. You just know, you know, you can't wait to share it with everybody at that point.
You know, one of the best things about having a really great podcast episode, especially when it's one of those ones where you're the style of the show is a conversational recording, like this is, and you just get lost in it. You don't even think about it. You're not looking at a list of questions. You're just having the conversation. You're just in the moment and you're enjoying yourself, and it's not a task to record podcast episode. You know, all that melts away and you're just in the moment having fun with it and enjoying it, and you don't want it to stop because you're just having fun. there's that. That's one of the key pieces when I know an episode's good. And then two, I think just when a guest blows my mind and I'm like, whoa, okay, I'm going to have to go back and listen to this episode for sure, which I do. Most people think it's funny, but I listen to my own show, not for my own voice, but for the guest. I want to listen back. I listened back to two or three episodes just recently. For example, when I got my Apple Watch, because I had had two or three, I had one episode specifically about it with Craig Jarrow and Mike Vardy, and then another one with, I'm going to say Max Sparky, but I know David Sparks. And I wanted to hear that. I wanted to relive those episodes and glean stuff from those in my knowledge base. And so I did. And there was nothing wrong with that. And so I guess a good episode is one where you get lost in it as you record it. Two is you want to go back and listen to it yourself, even though you lived through it and maybe don't love listening to your own voice. And three is, yeah, when the guests blow your mind.
Yeah, no, I absolutely identify with that. They say, the content doesn't change, but you change, you know, over time. And so how you interact with that content is different, you know, when you re-listen to something. This is just purely a selfish question. It's something I love asking people anytime I get to spend some time with them. But what does massive success look like for you? You know, what is the story that you hope to tell with kind of the larger story of what's happening with your life? I mean, when people are summing up Eric Fisher, what is the image that you hope that they have in their mind? What is the story that you hope that they're getting to tell?
Man, that is a tough question to answer. I've thought about it a lot. For a while, I thought it meant being known by more people. Now I just want the people that do know me to have had some sort of positive impact from me. And you know, the closer they are to me, the more impact that it will have had. You know, honestly, you know, I want to have my family first. I mean, you know, and that's such a trite thing to say, but it's true. I want to, you know, have my family know, hey, they love, you know, he loved us and all that. I don't know. I'm generalizing and rambling a little bit here. Yeah, success, because that's the thing is, like, people would be like, well, success, I want to, you know, 10 years out, I want to be like completely independently wealthy. I want to have no debt. I want to be running the successful business out of whatever and this and that. And I'm like, none of that is appealing to me. Mm-hmm. In actuality, like, I would rather enjoy doing what I'm doing. I know I enjoy working in teams and collaboration. I never, you know, people break apart the word entrepreneur and put it together with other pieces of other words like solopreneur or this some shoepreneur. And none of those are appealing to me, to be quite honest. I want to work with people that I like working with and enjoy doing good work with them and enjoy stopping doing that work and spending time with people I like to spend time with and doing fun things. Like, is it any more complicated than that? Really? No, it's not. But we make it that way. I mean, I boil it down to that. I mean, I just keep thinking about it. And I'm like, no, the best times I've had is when, like, I go see a new movie that everybody else has gone and seen. And I've seen it with a best friend of mine who, you know, we've both had really deep conversations about it. And, you know, and then also hanging out and talking with my daughter about it a little bit. And then, you know, spending time with my son as he's discovering, you know, how to write his name and stuff like that. Like, that's where I'm at. That's what I want. I want a simple life. And I want to share that with a good impact for other people, I guess. That's where I'm at right now. I just don't see, you know, building some huge productivity or social media empire being in my future. Sorry, people. No, that said, don't stop following me.
Yeah, I don't think that's a disappointment to anybody. And I think if anything, there's probably some heads nodding along with the conversation because, in all honesty, it's coming from a place of authenticity. And I think that's something that everybody wants. So no, absolutely a good answer. That's it for my list of questions. So let me say it's been an honor to kind of flip the tables and get to hear your side of the story. I think that it's something that your audience is going to find super valuable as well. And thanks for letting me kind of ride along and just get to listen to a little bit of what you do.
Yeah. Hey, thank you. And thank you for what you're doing over at the Pro Guide. And congratulations. I think I've said this privately, digitally once, but in public, I would just want to say congratulations on you doing the hosting of the GTD podcast, man.
Goodness, dude. Blown away. I'm almost, there's kind of like this feeling for me where it's like, maybe they'll find out, you know,
right?
Like, you know, do they know? But no, it's amazing. And I'm super thankful to get to hear a lot of people's stories as they interact with GTD. So it's a fun ride over there.
Well, why don't you tell people where they can find that? And I'll put that in the show notes.
Sure. So the Pro Guide you can find at www.proguide.io. And Getting Things Done is over at gettingthingsdone.com/podcast.
Awesome. So what did you think? I, again, feel like there's more questions to be asked here, and I'm giving you that opportunity to ask them. So go to beyondthetodolist.com/121. That's beyondthetodolist.com/121. And you will get the opportunity to ask any question you want to there in that comment section. I will be camped out there. I will be ready. I will have notifications on. Ask away. Thanks again to Nosby for supporting Beyond the To-Do List. And thanks again for their generous offer of a 30-day free trial of Nosby Pro and 10% off for when you upgrade. Head on over to nosby.com/to-do. That's Nosby, nosbe.com/TODO. And make sure to use the code TODO, TODO, when you upgrade to the Pro account. Thanks again to Nosby for supporting Beyond the To-Do List. And thanks again to you for listening. And I will see you next episode. Beyond the To-Do List is a proud member of the Noodle Mix Network. Find more of our award-winning and award-nominated podcasts to make you think, laugh, and succeed at noodle.mx.